pleasure to welcome Chris Blasi, president of Neptune Global Holdings today. Welcome, Chris Blasi.
Thank you, Chris. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Really neat to have you back, and what a neat time, you know, with gold up about 8%, quite a rally this year. Some folks have said, well, it's cryptos, Bitcoin profits pouring out of that market, which is under heavy pressure, into maybe the most sound money of all. People want to see that digital money turn into antiquated gold, yellow metal. What is this stuff? You can't send it instantly. What is gold to these young folks, the millennials today?
You know, this is an indictment on economic education, right? If you, any college economics department, there's never been talk about gold for decades. It's been written off and is misunderstood. But you know what? For 5,000 years, it has always been real money. And when I say gold, I'm going to use that as the representative of all the precious metals. And when you look at the charts, you know, I've made this statement for a couple of years now. We are in a long-term secular bull market for gold and the precious metals. It began in 2001, like all secular markets, it runs 20 to 25 years with three major legs. Leg one was 2001 to 2012. That middle pullback leg, multi-year, was 2000, basically 12 down to the December of 2015, where the price retraced 50%, which is just perfect and textbook. In the beginning of 2016, we entered the next leg, which is the third leg, and is always the most explosive leg. So, Chris, you look at how the metals have been performing. They've been up for the last 2 years. We're going into this third year, again, up and strong. And I think it's just playing out a perfect textbook. Now, we know there is interference in the market. They come in and knock the price down at certain times just to dampen the enthusiasm. And some people don't even realize how well gold has been doing for the last couple of years. But you step back from that noise, and the charts are beautiful. And I think we're, like I said, we are in the third leg, which is going to be a multi-year, and generally the third legs give you the most explosive and greatest gains.
Well, you are certainly preaching to the choir, you might say, here today, because awful lot of precious metals aficionados listening. We've just kind of forgotten that silver was also the standard. 1873 almost outlawed silver as a coinage. We had some up to about 100 years later in the 1960s when it was finally abolished. Do you see better times ahead for silver as well?
Chris, I think the whole precious metals complex, each metal's a little bit different, right? Gold being the pure play as a monetary metal. Silver is that quasi-monetary and industrial. You know, we'll touch on the PMC ounce a little bit because of platinum and palladium, which are real industrial plays. But silver is, we know it's a very volatile metal, right? So in the interim, it can be a gut-wrenching ride. But as this secular bull market plays out that I described, silver will start to perform. And probably when it's all said and done, at the end of this long secular market, silver will probably outperform gold. It's not like the people who are holding gold are going to be wringing their hands. It'll just be a matter of degree. So I think the gains will be great for all. It's been tough for the silver folks, but their moment, their day is coming.
You know, turning to the PMC ounce rate, just to frame this up for listeners who can't see the chart here, that can be found at the Neptune Global website. Again, we'll have links. And what I find interesting is that platinum has been under pressure relative to gold, silver. This might present an opportunity. Do you expect platinum then to outperform the yellow metal and silver?
Sure. So, you know, and now we're talking market timing, and I'm not a great market timer. But what the PMC ounce does is it's a logically weighted and diversified turnkey physical precious metals position. Now, what's not showing on that chart, which is also a component of the PMC ounce, is palladium. And you're right. The last few years, platinum has been an underperformer, but palladium has been knocking the cover off the ball. I mean, palladium was up 52% last year. As much as gold is up this year, palladium continues to outperform. Over the last 4 years, palladium has outperformed all the precious metals. So that's what we do that's what the PMC ounce does for the investor. It says, look, I don't know when they're going to hit their stride. Just like silver, right? When is silver going to hit their stride? We know it, you know, your listeners and me and you, that it will, but we just don't know when. So the PMC ounce says, look, here's this physical precious metals portfolio, logically weighted, and therefore don't try to market time, but you're going to get the blended return and you're going to capture the upside of all these metals in their due time. So platinum is perking up right now. It has finally. I don't know if it's going to outperform. I mean, I think people are still stunned by the amazing run by palladium and that it's continuing. I can't market time, so I go into a vehicle like this.
You know, the palladium story, remarkable, obviously a play on the strong auto sector that might be indicating better times ahead for its colleagues, gold, silver, platinum.
It's funny because I spoke to some clients about this also for the last few days. You know, platinum and palladium and silver, you know, silver does have this industrial component aspect to it, are, you know, that's like looking at them from the commodity perspective. And look what's really happening in the commodity markets, right? Quiet. People don't realize oil's up over $60 a barrel. Do you remember only a few months ago, Chris, when I went to a conference, and I'm not going to name names, but with a very high-profile Wall Street analyst who pounded the table saying oil will never, ever in our lifetimes be over $50 a barrel. We've heard that. I think you've heard that. We all have from many pundits, and here we are 60-plus. Copper's been perking up. So I think what's happening is, you know, the tangibles are getting their footing and getting their traction, and it's probably a combination of a global economy that's kind of perking up a little and a lot of cheap money that's being devalued versus these tangible assets. And the physical precious metals, they're definitely positioned to benefit from this.
From the perspective of return, bonds are boring. You have a much better portfolio tax situation for U.S. equities. What's going to perk up or continue this process of elevated prices in the precious metals when people just can't get enough of U.S. shares?
So I understand sticking and, you know, with the equities and, you know, and it's obviously that is a steel thunder. It keeps a lot of money penned up there. I think we would all agree it can't go on forever. I mean, even though people believe it can. I mean, you know, there are some advantages. I know that if you're in a mutual fund, an equity mutual fund, you're getting a 1099 every year and paying tax on gains, even though you haven't liquidated your position, which, you know, there are some tax advantages that aren't as, or tax situations that aren't as advantageous for precious metals. But then again, you can hold your precious metals for 20 years and you're not paying any tax on the gains until you eventually cash out. So there's positives and negatives to all. I would say that the gains in the precious metals since this third leg began have been respectable enough that you can't say you're missing out tremendously. I mean, you know, gold was up 12% last year. The PMC ounce was up 16%. You know, and since 2015, the PMC ounce has been up 34%. So I don't, you know, so the clients who own the PMC ounce are not, you know, felt like they're missed out, right? Their friends in the stock market have been getting all the gains, and they're doing quite well. And I can say that the folks that own the physical precious metals and they're, you know, they're back getting gains, I think they sleep comfortably knowing that at some point the stock market will have to give way. It just, you know, I know people can't believe it, but it just can't go up forever without pulling back. And then when that, you know, when the people do stampede out, we know what it's like. Most people don't get out in time before they take a serious haircut. I would say take some gains and, you know, be logical and start to build a little position in precious metals or add to it if you can.
Okay, and put you on the hot seat here for a moment on just how far the precious metals might run. I mean, given the fact that price has been quite subdued for a number of years, and you have, I think, brought up an interesting position that maybe new folks to the sector haven't thought about, and that is that we have remained in a bull market. It's just been a rather dull 5 or 6 years. With the resumption of the uptrend, things tend to get rather spectacular in the third wave. You referred to, whether you're an Elliott enthusiast or not, we could see some fireworks ahead. Do you want to talk about any impetus that might send us there? And just how far things could run.
You're right. The last 5 years, three of those years were rough because the price was declining. The last 2 years were actually going up, but because of, we'll call the negative press towards the precious metals and the mainstream financial media, people would think they weren't that great, but they were actually quite good. So you have the whole psychological aspect. And from my experience in the investment markets, psychology is one of the major components of investing. I mean, let's just look at the stock market. You can't say that PE ratios and the fundamentals support these prices. It's all being driven on momentum and psychology. Back to the precious metals, we are already in this bull market. It's just a matter of, you know, how long it goes. I think we're in for another multi-year run, like 2001 to 2012, which means at least 3-4 more years in front of us. And as far as upside potential, you know, and I'm going to give a very conservative number, gold getting to at least 2,500, 3,000, and I think you'll agree that's an extremely conservative number. But if you look at where gold is now, even that is a great return. You know, silver from its place around 17 and change now to $75 plus over the next couple of years, that's doable, and that's a tremendous return. And you and we would both agree that's a lot lower than a lot of analysts who have a very favorable and I'll say balanced opinion of precious metals share. I don't want to give the eye bleed numbers or the, you know, the jaw dropping numbers. I would be quite content with just achieving those numbers in the next couple of years.
Well, it certainly parallels many of the folks here on our show in recent months, and even that of, you know, Stacey Herbert, Max Kaiser, looking for at least $2,400 within the next 12 to 24 months. These numbers might have seemed impossible a few years ago, but folks are used to bubbles now, and we've seen quite a bubble in the crypto space. Do you expect those funds to continue pouring into more solid investments like the precious metals?
Yes. If you look at the price action in the cryptos over the last couple of weeks, you'll see there's a lot of pressure. Right. I think a lot of the euphoria and the nonstop rise has been curtailed, and that makes people rethink things. I think some people are saying, look, you know, they're cashing out, and now they're going to, we'll call it a more fundamental investment like gold and silver or the precious metals. So I think that bodes very well for the metals. If we were to get any sort of downward pressure in the stock market and even a fraction of that money came into precious metals, the availability of physical metal would dry up. I mean, it's a really thin market. You know, there is one misnomer, I think, some people sitting on the sidelines who say, well, I believe that at some point I need to be in precious metals, but I'll wait for that event to happen, meaning the next crisis, like 2008. When that time comes, the availability of physical metal will be very scarce. I mean, there won't be much around. It's just really a very thin market. So it's one of those things, our opinion is you need to be prepared before the event. You need to be positioned before, after the fact will be too late. And if you do get it, it'll be at a substantially higher price.
Certainly positioned, I think, for spectacular gains in the precious metals. I think you've alluded to that. Do you see the possibility of maybe a hyperinflation-like environment ahead, or is that too far away for us to analyze?
I don't think it's too far away to analyze. I think it's definitely the fundamental role in place for it to happen. It's just a matter of, is it going to be one of these events where we kind of have to drop off the cliff? Or is the U.S. dollar just going to grind down, get devalued versus, you know, gold, kind of slowly, and maybe slowly pick up a little, accelerate a little? Or will it do that, and then at some point where you just hit a monumental event where it just drops off a cliff? I mean, the reality is both are able to happen. Both can happen. Personally, I hope it's more of a long, slow grind. That's just better for all of us. No one wants that monumental day where everything just kind of resets. But it's all doable. I mean, it's all possible. And that's why it's great to speculate, and we can lay out all the reasons for both scenarios taking place, long, slow devaluation versus collapse. Not to be a broken record, but the reality is the best preparation is to have your position. So under either scenario, you're going to benefit.
You know, I think the real question for investors, not just investors, but maybe for our policymakers, for our leaders, are we facing something similar to what's occurring in South America? I mean, if Venezuela wants the gem of that region, the people are really, really suffering. We're talking widespread unemployment, massive inflation. Zoos are being raided as primary food sources. Just to give you a less than savory perspective of what can happen to once affluent nations and very wealthy people. we need to be aware at least that the possibility exists. And I do think our officials will fight it, though. So we'll be looking at more of a war of attrition that I think you outlined. So give us an idea on what you see for 2018. I presume then that you probably like the precious metal shares, which have been subdued, but have been consolidating in a very narrow range for quite some time, maybe implying better things ahead.
Yeah, I think 2018, of course, we've already talked about that it should be favorable for the precious metals. I think things are firming up in all the commodities. That also may be the bellwether or the signal telling people that inflation is coming down the pike, that these prices are firming up. And therefore, you should look at your portfolio and see what would do well in an inflationary environment and what wouldn't. You know, so maybe you need to evaluate where your bonds are. Your fixed income instruments. I think it's coming. I think there's going to be volatility. The metals will be volatile, but with the positive upward bias at some point during this year, maybe when the stock market does start to give back some. I think you buckle up. We're going to be in for a lot of volatility. I think the political environment is going to lead to that volatility. There's pretty much a political war going on, domestically and internationally. Volatility generally serves the precious metals well and tangible assets well.
You're a big believer in bullion over most other investment vehicles?
Absolutely, because I look at it this way, Chris. The beauty and the unique thing about bullion is it's one of the only physical assets you can actually take control of. Other ones you always have to play just through a securitized product because they don't lend themselves to being stored. Like you take oil. It's not feasible. You're not going to build an oil silo and fill it with oil to play the oil market. So you're kind of forced to use securitized products. Same thing with the other commodities. Take advantage of that unique aspect of precious metals, whether you have it in a non-bank depository insured or delivered to your home. But, you know, don't give away that unique characteristic of precious metals, and you don't need to use a securitized instrument to own them.
What a neat point you make, you know, the unencumbered nature. It's almost a foreign concept to so many today, the thought that you own this. We think we own our homes, but in reality, there's, in most cases, a mortgage. And even if you're one of the lucky lottery winners who have paid off that mortgage to the bank, do you really own the home? You have to pay real estate and related taxes ad infinitum, which even in communist nations, they find very difficult to believe as many immigrants come to the United States. So, I mean, we really don't own much of anything, but thanks to some legal structure, you do own what's in your hand when you own precious metals. All right, lastly, numismatics, PCGS graded gold coins have been near the spot price, even under the spot price of gold in some rare cases. Do you see any opportunity there?
The pricing is much more subjective. Right, those big swings based on the perceived rarity and the demand for collectible coins is another level of risk that I don't see a value. I think they're great if you enjoy collectible coins and you enjoy looking at them and maybe having a few of them for that. But if you're going to put money and you want to have a position in bullion, you take a position in the item that is basically trading on the bullion price and is only being bought for that small premium over there for the fabrication charge, and not get into the subject, you know, that subjective pricing for the rarity component of it. Now, you want to be in physical bullion in these markets if you're looking to capitalize on the potential gains for gold, silver, platinum, and palladium.
Clearly, you feel that the, like as we do here, that a sound core in the precious metals is really the hallmark of success. It's the safety net, the insurance policy for every portfolio, and will become increasingly important as volatility ratchets up. But what else would you find appealing? Equities may be somewhat high, bonds in a 30-year bubble. Is real estate of any interest?
You know, real estate, I think, is in a It's a traditional asset that people say, hey, fortunes have been made in real estate. Real estate also thrives under conditions that are probably going to turn negative. You just look at commercial real estate, right? The economy is changing. The demand for space is dwindling. So I think commercial real estate is a very problematic and fraught with a lot of risk. If you're looking to invest in investment properties, and look, I'm not a real estate expert. I'm just using what I see as my views of things to apply. But one thing I would be concerned about with going into residential real estate is the ability of that person to pay. If we get into a financial downturn, will your tenant pay? If you're buying now and the interest rates are still relatively low, and we know that the house prices are an inverse of the interest rates, right? And if interest rates start to rise, then the value of the underlying property will go down. That may not mean anything until you sell it, but when you're going into the turbulence that I think we're going into, unfortunately, sometimes the answer is there aren't a lot of alternatives. And there really isn't, because a lot of the assets that have benefited from the policies and the environment in the past, they're going to come under pressure with what we're going into and morphing into. So, it's not that we're just precious metals dealers, but the reality is when you take in factors like liquidity and divisibility, interest rate risk, there aren't many options, right? And now there's going to be some equity based on what the company does and the industry it's in. We'll probably do okay, but then again, in a true sell-off, it takes down all categories. I could go through a personal portfolio, but I guess the high-level answer is what we're facing doesn't leave a lot of options. It's not, like in a bull market, it rises, it lifts all ships. So then, you can construct a portfolio of all different things, and it wasn't the brilliance of the construction of the portfolio. It was just a rising tide lifted everyone. But I think we're facing a much more challenging future, and it's going to be a much more narrow set of assets that will do well.
If I follow your thoughts correctly, investors might consider a significantly larger allocation of precious metals to the typical portfolio.
We all cover our bases by, say, you just go by that hat, percentage. But I think a lot, a person has to think logically and make their own decision. Say, should I maybe be a little more exposed to the metals based on the situation at hand? Because you're one of the few people that make a very important point that I've always made. You don't really own real estate. As long as you have to pay taxes on land, and if you don't pay those taxes, they will take it from you, you really never own real estate. So in the most true sense, it's an asset you're just leasing, like you're renting it. But now with a lot of the tax legislation, especially people who are real estate investors in states like New Jersey, New York, California, Illinois, right, the high tax state, and the new deductions, with what they call the SALT, these are more challenges to that game. So, real estate investing is going to be very geographic, and it's going to depend on what location more than ever.
It's much easier to take a roll of gold eagles or maples in one's pocket amid geopolitical turbulence than it would be to liquidate an illiquid asset at times. So you might like to touch a bit on the PMC ounce rate.
The PMC ounce, it's gotten a lot of attention from analysts that are well-respected. I think the beauty of it is it's constructed in a way it's pretty much done all the thinking as far as it's logically weighted, it's liquid, it's price efficient, and it does have a patent. It received a patent because of all these characteristics, that it's got the ease of trade as if it was an ETF, but it's actually the ownership of physical metal in the client's name at the depository level, the most granular level. It's really serving investors well. And it kind of, even when people say, well, if I put a portion of my portfolio in precious metals, how should I allocate those metals? The PMC ounce basically does it for you, basis and the characteristics that you want in precious metals investing. And I just really appreciate, Chris, the chance to come on and chat about the markets with you and get to share about the PMC ounce with your listeners.
Looking at the PMC ounce rate at the NeptuneGlobal.com website, can't help but notice that when the indices turned downward, it was maybe a time where one would be less inclined to add exposure. But now over the last 3 years or so, things seem to be turning upward, and that might imply better times ahead. That might help encourage investment on a forward basis.
Yes, and it is as I shared before, I think the precious metals are back in a multi-year uptrend. But when you looked at that chart, which is on the homepage, and you look at the line for silver, and you look how high silver was a few years ago, and it came crashing down, you know, when the precious metals pulled back from 2012 to 2015, of course, the fancy ounce is comprised of precious metals, so it went down. But it didn't go down as much as some of the others, right? It was less volatile, and that's the point of it. And then in the last several years, you know, palladium has been outperforming. So the point is, its blended return is delivering a better risk-adjusted return. And whenever we're building a portfolio, right, where there's two things. Everyone wants to chase returns, but it's also managing risk. And mitigating risk or managing risk, one part of that means managing volatility or reducing volatility. So the PMC says, look, you're in the precious metals, you're going to get the blended return, you're going to capture the upside of these metals, but its construction, its diversification is going to help mitigate and temper the risk that you would have being in just one or two of the metals. It's really a logically weighted, constructed vehicle for owning precious metals in its greatest form physically, but mitigating and tempering some of the risk. We encourage everyone to visit us. We also have our phone number there and a contact page. Again, we're a full-service precious metals dealer, but a big differentiator is the PMC Ounce. You know, we love to talk with investors about the precious metals market and how we could assist them. We just encourage all inquiries.
All right, Chris Blasi, we'll look forward to hearing updates from you in 2018.
Great, Chris. Thanks a lot, and great year for you and all your listeners.